I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org.
Ahmaud Arbery was laid to rest in the churchyard of New Springfield Baptist Church in Waynesboro, Georgia, on February 29, 2020. He was 25 years old. 6 days had come and gone since he was shot and killed outside Brunswick, Georgia, and by the time of Ahmaud's funeral, the authorities had already decided Travis McMichael was lawfully defending himself when he shot Ahmaud 3 times. I told you in an earlier episode the local paper was shut out by the police for weeks and news about the shooting was hard to come by. The case itself stood still for 74 days after the shooting. Travis McMichael and his father Greg went on about their lives. Roddy Bryan, the man who recorded the video, was free to do as he wished. The fiction lingered that Ahmaud was killed while committing a felony. Why? Because news organizations, even in Glynn County, were slow to dig into the story. Keep in mind that Brunswick is a small town, and the Brunswick News is a small daily newspaper. The police stonewalled the paper for weeks. After an initial burst of stories in the Brunswick News, the paper's online archive show no coverage of the Arbery case from February 28th until April 2nd, nothing at all in March, and only 2 stories in April. As the weeks dragged on after Ahmaud's death, his friends and his family were anguished and outraged. There was so much more to this, they said. They could scarcely even believe Ahmaud was dead, but few people were paying attention. The pandemic had begun, the courts were closing, everything was closing, including, it seemed, the Ahmaud Arbery case. Something had to give. Something had to break it open or it might disappear. Well, that break was coming. This is Buried Truths. I'm Hank Klibanoff.
Support for WABE comes from 100 Miles, a nonprofit committed to preserving Georgia's 100-mile coast. Protecting this critical coastal ecosystem takes all of us. Watch the stories of the innovators and future leaders who help keep our coast flowing at ourgeorgiacoast.org.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Being called and told that your son is dead is one thing.
This is Wanda Cooper Jones, Ahmaud's mother, talking with PBS NewsHour. Now, what she went on to say was that she was told Ahmaud was killed in the midst of doing a crime.
I never believed that he was burglarizing anything. He was hunted down and killed like an animal. I honestly think if we didn't get national attention to it, my son's death would have actually been a cover-up. I mean, we got attention when the world got attention.
The St. Simons Island lawyer you met in earlier episodes, Jim Barger, was among the local folks who wouldn't let it go. Barger wrote a letter to the editor of the Brunswick News in late April, castigating the authorities for not making any arrests.
That shocked me and angered me, and that's what, you know, caused me to first write to the Brunswick News and say, they've got to arrest these people. We've got to do something. We can't have people murdering our kids in the street. And everybody around here, once they got wind of that was what happened, white and black, felt the same way. I didn't know how people were going to respond when I raised my voice, but it was very swift that everybody was upset and wanted justice and couldn't believe those guys weren't arrested on the spot.
As you may recall, District Attorney George Barnhill, he was DA number 2, who recused himself in April, wrote a letter to the police in which he cleared the McMichaels. Barger had a strong reaction to it.
I think it will go down in history as one of the most infamous legal documents our country has had in the 21st century. It was a deputization, essentially, a blessing of a murder. I can't speak more strongly about how opposed I am to the kind of reasoning that Barnhill attempted to twist in his letter.
In an email to the state attorney general regarding his recusal, Barnhill wrote, "A local rabble-rouser has taken up this cause and begun publishing wild and factually incorrect and legally wrong accusations on Facebook." Barnhill does not identify the rabble-rouser, but a few folks were doing all they could to rouse the rabble, and one of them was Wanda Cooper Jones, who was pressuring the authorities to make arrests in the killing of her son. Another was Demetrius Frazier, Ahmaud's cousin and close friend, who we heard from in Episode 3. Jason Vaughn, Ahmaud's one-time football coach, helped lead the charge, spreading the word to Ahmaud's old teammates, some of whom are now in the NFL. Also joining the rabble-rousers was Josiah Jazz Watts, a cousin of Ahmaud who grew up on the coast and now lives in Atlanta. Watts says a story in the local paper in April upset him.
They had written an article in the Brunswick News that was just, like, awful. It was just absolutely ridiculous. So then I wrote up this narrative that I wanted them to print about it, which no one responded to. And I was just posting and talking about it. And
Watts and Frazier had heard about Ahmaud's death almost immediately. Frazier posted something to social media the day after the shooting, and the community buzz began building. Watts said he frequently reached out to family members, both to check on how they were doing and to ask what they'd heard. The so-called rabble-rousers created a Facebook page in early April, dedicated to following the case. On it was something new. The hashtag, #IRunWithMaud. This would become a rallying cry for those who thought the case was mishandled, and it also served to attract more people to the cause. Also in April, Watts made a contact with the Atlanta bureau chief for the New York Times, Richard Fawcett. Fawcett went down to Glynn County, and he wrote a story that appeared April 26th under the headline, "Two Weapons, a Chase, and No Arrest." The story made the first ever reference to there being any video from the scene of the shooting. That story included Barnhill's description of the video, and his description, by the way, incriminated Ahmaud Arbery. Fawcett also talked with Ahmaud's mother, Coach Jason Vaughn, and with the local NAACP leader. The story picked up steam. Community activism did as well. Here's Jazz Watts.
And so what you have is these commissioners are getting hundreds of calls and hundreds of emails. And every day it was something different that people could do in this pursuit of justice to try to get this story out, but also to put pressure on our local officials to do something that they didn't do, which was their jobs. And we kind of kept, you know, pushing and pushing and pushing.
And then came the break. Brunswick attorney Alan Tucker has said that on April 30th, 2020, Greg McMichael showed him the video of the shooting and asked Tucker for advice. The two talked it over and decided to pass the video to a local radio personality who was a friend of Tucker's. The station posted it online on May 4th, 71 days after the shooting. The video went viral almost immediately, and everything changed. More than 2 months earlier, local authorities had determined the video showed Travis McMichael killed Ahmaud in self-defense. Now the rest of the world was seeing it quite differently. 2 days after the video went up, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation took up the case. A day after that, the McMichaels were charged with murder. In May, when the video of Ahmaud's shooting went global, so did the hashtag #IRunWithMaud. The Facebook page swelled to 92,000 followers. May 8th, on what would have been Ahmaud's 26th birthday, the group asked its followers to join them virtually for a run. On 5 or 6 continents, it seemed, people were running 2.23 miles to commemorate the life of Ahmaud Arbery, who died on February 23rd, or 2/23. Oprah Winfrey, the Olympian Michael Johnson, actress Kerry Washington, NFL defensive back Malcolm Jenkins, and thousands of other well-known and unknown folks ran with Maud that day. Sterling K. Brown, who stars as Randall Pearson on This Is Us, ran his 2.23 miles and then posted a singularly moving reflection.
There's a tension that we carry sometimes as Black folks, and a lot of folks be like, well, why are you being so tense? Why are you being so anxious? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a free country, bro. It's because of shit like this, man. He was going for a jog. I got kids. We jog in the park. I jog all the time. Randall jogs all the time. That's like his thing. And you would think that there would be some activity in which you didn't have to fear for your life.
Brown talks about the lingering effects of slavery.
And the remnants of the establishment of this country, the institutions on which it was found, are with us today because two white people, a father and son, for at least 2 months have been sitting up in the house thinking that they got away with it. That they could just go out and snuff out a brother's life and then go back home and watch TV, whatever it is they did. Okay, that's it, man. Much love to you all. Much love to the family of Ahmaud Arbery. May God be with you.
The arrests of the McMichaels brought some measure of satisfaction to Ahmaud's friends and family. But the word cover-up was still on the lips of a lot of people in Brunswick. Much of the local Black community was suspicious and angry, and people who had been in coronavirus lockdown were beginning to emerge. The wall of the pandemic was pierced. Street protests and marches were breaking out.
I didn't come all the way from Atlanta down here to Brunswick, Georgia, to just say, let's sing, We Shall Overcome.
In May 2020, about a week after the arrests, activists from Atlanta came to Brunswick for a demonstration.
We came to tell Jackie Johnson, your time is up.
Among the speakers was Derek Bozeman, former Atlanta City Councilman and now an Atlanta radio personality.
That brother now belong to the ancestors. And his blood is crying out from the grave. They want to know, he want to know who will stand and who will speak for me. He want to know who will stand and who gonna speak for me. I want to know from Atlanta, how many of you out here saying you'll stand for Ahmaud? You'll speak for that brother. You'll stand up for that brother. You'll fight for that brother. Let's talk about old dirty Jackie Johnson.
Jackie,
don't y'all in Brunswick be fooled by this. There's an election coming up in a few weeks.
That's what it is. She ain't gonna be there.
Y'all better get busy and put somebody on the ballot to run against her. I don't give a damn if it's Mickey Mouse.
You heard the call for someone to run against Jackie Johnson. Well, she's had an opponent on the November ballot since January. He's an independent, Keith Higgins, and his challenge is almost unheard of. In the Brunswick Judicial District, this is the first contested general election race for district attorney in nearly a quarter of a century, 24 years. George Barnhill, you may remember, he's DA number 2, was reelected in 2018, so he's not on the ballot this November 2020. Well, actually, that may not be true. Residents of Barnhill's judicial district are fighting to recall him over his handling of the Arbery case, so he may well end up on the November ballot in a recall election.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Now here's a big question. 400 years after they brought the first enslaved Africans ashore, do some white people, maybe more of them than we want to believe, carry a kind of racial muscle memory, a reflexive hatred seen in vigilantes that would lead a Travis McMichael to pull that trigger? Or were father and son just making a reckless decision to initiate a citizen's arrest that ended in a regrettable but justifiable homicide? Presumably, a jury will decide that question, probably in 2021. Now, of course, there's a chance that one or all of the suspects will make a deal with the prosecution and enter a guilty plea in exchange for less prison time. But if the case does go before a jury, and the jury finds the men guilty of murder, the law provides for only 3 possible sentences. Death, life in prison without the possibility of parole, or life in prison with the possibility of parole. Now, in the latter case, a murderer must serve at least 30 years before he's eligible for parole. By then, Greg McMichael would be about 95, Roddy Bryan in his early 80s, and Travis McMichael in his mid-60s, roughly the age his father is now. The death penalty is still on the table, although DA Joyette Holmes has not said yet if she will seek it, and death penalty trials in Georgia are becoming more unusual with each passing year. Now, a lot of people are thinking, Ahmaud Arbery, like so many before him, was killed for no reason, and that the killers almost got away with it. Here's former President Barack Obama talking about the inequalities suffered by Black Americans.
We see it in the disproportionate impact of COVID-19 on our communities. Just as we see it when a Black man goes for a jog and some folks feel like they can stop and question and shoot him if he doesn't submit to their questioning.
Not too long ago in Georgia, the Arbery case would have been covered up, officially ignored, until it finally faded away altogether. There would never have been a reckoning. Now, we know this because we can see what happened in Georgia when one man, Eugene Cook, was Attorney General from 1945 to 1965.
Made by Georgia through a constitutional amendment in 1954.
He made life hell for Black people in this state. He fell for every rumor and myth that the NAACP was subversive and communist.
At the appropriate time, I shall file a brief on behalf of Georgia.
In 1955, Eugene Cook delivered a speech that called the NAACP sinister and said the organization, quote, could dupe naive do-gooders, fuzzy-minded intellectuals, misguided clergymen, and radical journalists to be their pawns. Well, who was his audience that day? The Peace Officers Association of Georgia. That is, the police. Now, just in case it doesn't go without saying, the racial beliefs of the Attorney General of the state of Georgia really matter. Listen to Georgia's Attorney General today, Chris Carr, as he talks about the Ahmaud Arbery case.
From our perspective, I feel that we absolutely must get to the bottom of this.
Whether you live in Georgia or not, you may have heard of Brian Kemp. As Georgia's Secretary of State, Kemp was accused of suppressing the black vote on his way to a razor-thin victory over Stacey Abrams, a black Democrat, in the 2018 race for governor. Now, to some, that looked and smelled like a throwback racist strategy from the 1940s and 50s. But listen to Kemp's words about the Ahmaud Arbery killing, and you'll hear something that you wouldn't have heard from a Georgia governor back then.
Earlier this week, I watched a video depicting Mr. Arbery's last moments alive. I can tell you it's absolutely horrific, and Georgians deserve answers.
And here's the director of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, Vic Reynolds.
We were hit the ground running Wednesday morning, and within 36 hours, we had secured warrants for two individuals for felony murder.
Now, regardless of whatever else you might think of these three white Republican office holders, or whatever you might guess about their political views on matters of race, their words do represent change. They were, in this case, doing more than talking. I mean, think about the timeline. The video of Ahmaud's death emerged on May 4th. DA number 3, Tom Durden, asked the GBI to investigate on May 5th. That investigation began on May 6th. Agents arrested the McMichaels on May 7th.
I'm very comfortable in telling you that there's more than sufficient probable cause in this case for felony murder.
That was GBI Director Vic Reynolds again, talking to reporters after the McMichaels' arrest. Coincidentally, Reynolds was the district attorney in Cobb County before the governor asked him to take charge of the GBI. Joyette Holmes was then appointed to replace Reynolds as DA, and that's how she became DA number 4 in the Ahmaud Arbery case. So after 232 years of statehood, Georgia's government is still run by white men. And even today, their decisions often work to the advantage of white people. Perhaps their sentiments in the Arbery case were genuine, or perhaps they can read public outrage and know it's in their best political interest to reflect that outrage. Either way, the net effect is the same. The McMichaels and Brian are in jail, and DA Holmes has thrown the book at them. In addition to the felony murder and aggravated assault charges the GBI filed, Holmes also persuaded the grand jury to add one count of malice murder against each of the suspects. Now, as I said at the outset, this has been a summer of discontent. This nation has been rocked by the killings of black men by white police officers. Prosecutors have brought murder charges against the Atlanta police officer who shot Rayshard Brooks in the back after an altercation at a Wendy's. The Minneapolis police officer who placed his knee on George Floyd's neck and held it there until Floyd died has also been charged with murder. Three other officers are facing charges as well. September 2020 will mark 6 months since Breonna Taylor was killed in Louisville. She was shot 5 times in a botched drug raid by cops using a no-knock warrant. One officer has been fired, but local and national activists fear that the killing will go unpunished. The summer of discontent is now spilling into the fall. In Kenosha, Wisconsin, a black man, Jacob Blake, was shot 7 times in the back by police, leaving him paralyzed. In August of 2020, the 57th anniversary of the March on Washington turned into a massive commemoration of the black lives that have been lost this year. Among the featured speakers was Ahmaud Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones.
I stand before you as the proud mother of Ahmaud Arbery. I'm carrying a very broken heart, but also a grateful heart that God chose my son, Ahmaud Arbery, to be a part of this most huge movement. I do believe if we continue to stand and fight together, that we will get change.
That's right.
Sadly, we have these type of tragic events far too often. But I want each of you to please don't forget their names. Please let their names live forever. I want to share 3 words with you that I know Ahmaud would want me to share with you as well. And that is, I love you. I love you all for standing with us.
The Arbery case might well have faded away if not for the sudden emergence of the video that showed Ahmaud being chased and killed, and the determined efforts of people like Demetrius Frazier, Jazz Watts, Jim Barger, and Wanda Cooper Jones. They just wouldn't, or couldn't, let it go. They faced long odds, this handful of crusaders, but they made sure that this truth would never be buried. I want to leave you with something powerful. I'm going to tell you it's something terribly sad, but it's also inspiring. And I think it's important that you hear it. It's from Brunswick High School football coach Jason Vaughn. Now, he was the coach when Ahmaud was on the team, and he's the coach today. Vaughn obviously had a very special bond with Ahmaud Arbery. It was Vaughn who came up with the I Run With Maud hashtag. And as I told you earlier, helped lead the charge to bring attention to the killing. He posted this tribute in early May 2020 on Twitter. Tears are streaming down his face before he's halfway through it.
Good morning, this is Coach Vaughn, Maud. I'm standing in the same spot the last time I seen you take a run. I thought I could sprint to catch up with you, but you were moving so fast, and as you hit the corner, I realized that I didn't have enough speed to catch up with you. But Maud, with God's strength, I will not get tired. I will not get tired until we get justice, until your family finds peace. I want you to know this morning, Maud, that you got a whole community behind you. I Run With Maud.
I'm Hank Klibanoff. This is Buried Truths.
Buried Truths is produced by WABE Atlanta. Our senior producer is David Baraswain, writing by Hank Klibanoff and Richard Hallix. Our executive producers are J.N. Berry and John Hawes. Special thanks to Scott Wolfel, Stephen Key, Alita McCalman, Kendall Foote, and Raphael Fetrot. Hank Klibanoff is a former newspaper reporter and editor and co-author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Race Beat. He's also a professor at Emory University, where he directs the Georgia Civil Rights Cold Cases Project. We want to extend a special thanks to the Emory students who helped with this season of Buried Truths: Jake Bush, Hannah Cherick, Jordan Flowers, Cameron Katz, and Sage Mason spent the summer of 2020 investigating the Ahmaud Arbery case. Thanks also to student Rowan Thomas, whose earlier research contributed to this season. Visit buriedtruths.org to find lesson plans based on prior seasons of the podcast and discussion questions for your next podcast club. You can also sign up for our newsletter, and that's where you can support Buried Truths by making a donation. Again, that's at buriedtruths.org. On social, we're at Buried Truths Pod. Please look us up and follow us. And if you haven't already, take a moment to rate the show on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. It'll help more people find this important podcast. Thank you for listening to Buried Truths.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The world is full of mysteries. Are ghosts real? Is that yogurt expired? Hey, the unknown can be scary, but when you donate to WABE, you know where your money is going. Your gift supports the journalism that keeps you informed and the programs that pull back the curtain on complicated stories. Help us make the world less mysterious. Become a member now. Go online to wabe.org/donate, and thanks.